Hey sis, welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. Now, real quick before we get into the show, did you know that this podcast is a spinoff from a book that I wrote? Yes, Mom Keys to Mental Peace, 12 Tips to Become a Healthy Mom and Raise Healthy Children. In this book, I share my story about how I identified toxic patterns of thinking about life and motherhood. I share how God helped me to transform by the renewal of my mind. I didn't want to keep this revelation to myself, so I packaged it in a book to share how you can transform your mindset and lifestyle too. This book is for anyone who desires to break unhealthy generational patterns in their family, want to build healthier and stronger relationships with their children, or for anyone who wants to overcome the battle of negative thoughts in their mind. After reading this book, you will learn how to gain confidence in who you are as a mother, handle unhealthy thinking patterns when they appear in your mind, and position yourself to achieve mom life balance. This book is available wherever books are sold, and the link will be in the show notes. Now let's get to the show. Welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. I'm your host and sister in Christ, Tari Kaya Allen Butler. This is a podcast for millennial moms who struggle with limiting beliefs and want to learn how to make over their mindsets and level up their lifestyle in faith and family. Tap in each week for the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast, where you will learn major keys to stop coming up short on your goals and start leveling up for the type of lifestyle you desire God's way. Ready to level up? Let's do it. All right. So hello. What's up, everybody? Welcome to our OG listeners. Happy to have you back. And welcome to any new listeners that we have. Welcome, sis. So happy to have you join the family. So we have been in a series for the month of May about all things motherhood. That'll be the topic each week. So we're jumping into kind of a heavy topic today. More so, I would say like the dark side of motherhood or like mother wounds, because everybody does not have this happy-go-lucky experience with their mother as we would like to think. And I'll go into that deeper as we share. But today's title is Lessons I Learned from the Book, I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. And Jeanette McCurdy is an actress. If you're a millennial, then at some point in your life on Nickelodeon, you have watched the show iCarly. So Jeanette McCurdy was Sam, the best friend of iCarly on that show. And I was motivated to read this book after seeing all the stuff, child, in the documentary about the dark side of Nickelodeon. I think it was Quiet on Set was the name of that documentary. Just know, if you have not seen that documentary and you watch it, it will ruin your childhood, okay? As it goes into details about what all they went through. But the title of this book is for sure a big attention grabber, because this is not something that you would typically hear somebody say out loud, let alone name the title of their book. So the first time that I heard about this book was when Jeanette did an interview on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith, her mom, and her daughter. So this was around COVID, I believe, or a little bit after, when she was doing those TV series on Facebook for Red Table Talk. And as I listened to their interview and listened to Jeanette share her story, I was really drawn in by her story. So based off the strained relationship that I have with my mom, I regretfully could relate to the title. And my mom is not dead. But hearing that, I was like, oh, that's a sharp title to name a book. And like I said, it's not something that someone would say out loud. Maybe it's something they feel in their heart. Maybe it's something that shows up in their actions. But like to physically say that, like I said, regretfully, I feel like deep in my heart, based off the strained relationship with my mom, I could kind of relate to the title. So I was all ears to hear like, well, why did she name it that? Or, you know, what's her story? What's going on with that? So I could relate to a few things that she shared in regards to how she felt about her relationship with her mom once she became an adult and went to therapy and started really learning and digging into some things that happened with her mom and her relationship as a child. So we all have an image of our mothers as children that is pure, right? And I feel like God put this innate perspective in our minds for survival, right? So depending on the dynamic of the relationship with your mom, a mom is usually seen as a provider, a protector, the one who knows all, a nurturer, a comforter, the one that you can depend on to take care of your life. And ultimately, I feel like our moms are the ones who can do no wrong, right? Mama is always right. Mama knows best. She's just like the pillar in our life as a child, right? It's just so pure how we view our moms. So there is truth to this statement when it comes to how quickly small children forgive their mothers or show them love unconditionally. So just think about if you've ever been in a situation where you've had to spank or pop your small child, they will come to you for comfort and you are the one that popped them. I know all of my children have done this and I have a toddler now. If I spank his butt or something with him acting out, he'll come to me to hold and comfort him. But it's like, I'm the one that just spanked you, right? Or I know there's some cases where children are pulled from abusive homes and maybe the mom could be abusive or just the environment was abusive and not safe. Once those children are taken out, it's been known that those children will still long to be with their mother because there's just some type of connection or this innate deep feeling that I need to be with mom. I need to be close to mom. She's my protector. Despite the actual reality of the situation that's happening, it's just something in a child's mind that needs to be connected or near their mom or that desire for their mom. So it just makes me think about when God talks about having childlike faith in the Bible, where children display this unconditional love when it comes to their parents. But there comes a point in adulthood or as you start to get older, where you start to see your mother as a woman versus just a mother. So that survival, whatever is going on in your brain and your heart to feel like you need to be near, it's kind of like it unveils a little bit or your eyes are open a little bit more to the reality of situations or circumstances that's going on with you and your mom. And you get to see them as woman versus just mommy. So I feel like this is why it's important to be a healthy woman in order to be a healthy mom. We are women first, okay? Everybody is not a mother. Everybody is not a wife. But when it comes to this female makeup, we are all women first. So it's really important to be a healthy woman before any other role that you step into, because that is the foundation of who you are. So our kids may love us unconditionally now, but over time as they grow, they start to learn about us and figure us out. They start to see our character. They start to take note of the way that we speak, the way that we behave, the way that we handle certain situations. They observe certain decisions that we make, and then they start to reshape their view of us, right? So I ultimately want my children to have a healthy viewpoint of me in their adulthood. And this book kind of made me reflect on my journey as a daughter, as well as a mother, and what I want that to look like. So if you have not read the book, I'm going to give a few quick cliff notes. I'm definitely not telling the totality of the book with just these highlights that I'm hitting on. So if it's something that you're interested in, I suggest that you still get the book. I personally listened to the audiobook. I feel like Jeanette does a great job of telling her story. So she's the one that's reading the book. She did a phenomenal job telling her story and her experience on the audiobook version. It was just like I could picture everything that she was talking about in my head. It was like watching a movie in my head as I listened to her read. And the chapters are really short, maybe like no more than 5 to 6 minutes per chapter. I mean, she really goes through and takes it bit by bit with her experience and just the timeline of everything that she went through. So the book starts off with her and her siblings in the hospital surrounding her mother's bed. Her mother was dying of cancer at this point and was in a coma. So each of the siblings share a word of encouragement and hopes to try to get their mom to wake up out of this coma. So when it was Jeanette's turn to share, she tells her mom that she has reached 87 pounds, which is the goal weight that her mom wanted for her. Now, keep in mind, she was in like her early 20s at this point and told her mom that she was 87 pounds, which was a goal weight that her mom had for her. And she was just like, I just knew this was going to wake her up because this is like her ultimate dream. This is like her ultimate desire of, you know, what would make her happy. But unfortunately, she did not wake up from the coma. So a lot of us, as I shared, we know Jeanette from the Nickelodeon show iCarly. She shares that she had been acting since she was 5 years old. And at that time, she was doing like background work or like the extras in the background. So not someone that was like forefront or with lines, but just kind of a background actor. She started off doing that at around 5 years old. Her mother was heavily involved in her acting career and a huge influence to why she was an actor. She shared how her mom wanted to be an actor as a child, but her mom wouldn't let her. So Jeanette's grandmother would not allow Jeanette's mom to be an actor when she was a child. This was something she desired. So even though Jeanette was not interested in acting, she was still good at it. But the motivation of her being good at it was to please her mom. She knew that as she performed well and did well at these acting jobs, that it would make her mom so proud. And that was the deep motivation to why she performed well. So throughout the book, Jeanette shares the unhealthy dynamic of her and her mother's relationship, which at the time she thought was normal or didn't really see anything wrong with it. So one of the things that she shared is that her mom gave her and her brothers a bath up until they were 16 years old. Okay, that right there is for sure a huge red flag, because by that time your body has gone through puberty, you've got hair growing in certain places, you've got body parts growing, and not only did she bathe them, but sometimes they would like have to be in the shower together as she bathed them, and she said that it saved water by doing it that way, or that they were not able to wash themselves thoroughly enough, so she had to do it for them. Now, by that time, a child for sure should be able to properly wash their own body. Like, that right there just kind of blew my mind to hear her share that. And I'm sure that was so vulnerable for her to share. I mean, that's kind of, you know, embarrassing once you really think about it and break it down. Like, I just, my heart went out to her. Her mother taught her how to be anorexic, but kind of reframed it as calorie restriction. So there was a point in the book where she noticed that she was growing breasts, and the type of cancer that her mom had was breast cancer. So she thought that it was lumps growing on her breasts, but really all it was is that she was going through puberty and starting to grow breasts. And she also shared how in the acting career that the younger you look or the more childlike you are, then the more gigs that you can book. So she talked to her mom about her breast because she was concerned. And her mom told her, like, you know, no, it's not a cancer lump. These are breasts coming in. And she kind of asked her mom, like, well, what can we do to stop it? And that kind of opened the door for her mom to teach her about calorie restriction. Now, this was something that her mom engaged in anyway, but she just never really noticed it, or I guess had a name for it. So they would, her mom would weigh out her food. She said there were days where she only ate like popsicles for the day, very limited food that she was eating, but her mom was kind of monitoring and handling all of this for her, and they were doing it together. And like she said, in her mind, like, this was just something me and mom did together. This is just how we shared a meal or how we ate. But ultimately, her mom was teaching her how to be anorexic. That name just wasn't put on it. And she even mentioned how she went to dance practice or acting classes or something. And one of the she overheard one of the teachers sharing with Jeanette's mom her concern about how much weight she was losing, how small she was getting. And the mom just kind of blew it off and got in the car like, she's fine, she's good, and just kind of left. And she was like, that was her first time of hearing the word anorexia, but her mom never readdressed it or brought it back up. Like, it was just something said and then moved on with. So she never really knew how dangerous or how wrong that was. Her mom referred to her as her best friend often and didn't have relationships with other women. So she depended a lot on her for comfort, for conversation, for having talking about certain topics that you shouldn't be talking about with a child. She experienced that. She used her cancer as a weapon against her family a lot. So there were two different times where I think the cancer really got bad. But there was one time she said that her mom recorded the whole process of like her being in the hospital and going through chemo. And she would make them watch this video often and point out like how sad the dad looked. And Jeanette was like that she scolded her for being happy in the video. Jeanette was like, she was 2 years old at the time, right? I think there was a scene of her in the hospital room and she was like playing or something. And she was just kind of like, and Jeanette, you didn't even realize how sick mama was. You were just over there playing and having a good time. And it was just kind of like, girl, she was 2 years old. She didn't even know what was going on. So she oftentimes used her cancer as a weapon against her family. She was mean and abusive to Jeanette's father. There's a lot of stories that they share about her getting upset with him, being physically abusive with him, putting him out of the house. She became verbally abusive with Jeanette as she got older and started dating. Jeanette had to hide her dating relationships from her mother because she didn't want her to be in a romantic relationship. So that's just, you know, a couple of highlights of some of the abuse and things that she talks about in the book. Jeanette shares her many struggles into adulthood as a result of the dynamic of their relationship as a child. So she became bulimic. So she went from one eating disorder to the next. And bulimia is when you purge or eat a lot of food and then go and throw it up. And she struggled with this for years to the point where her teeth were rotting. She was having issues with her throat, like. It was just a lot, but she was so addicted to it. She would say that she would purge about 5 to 6 times a day. Like, it was just really, really, really bad. She struggled in dating relationships with the men that she chose. She suffered from OCD. And she touched on this lightly, but this was something that I could relate to, where she would do certain rituals or things to try to control the outcome of the day. And a lot of her rituals were based to her keeping her mom alive. So one example she gave was like, if I turn around 3 times and squeeze my butt cheeks and flick this light 2 times, then mom will be healthy for today, or something like that. And she suffered from severe anxiety. So Jeanette didn't realize the depth and dysfunction of her relationship with her mother until she went to therapy. At first, she was in shock and denial when the therapist told her that her mom was essentially abusive to her. But the more that she reflected on what she shared, she was able to accept the painful truth. So the book kind of ends with her visiting her mom's grave. So ultimately, you know, her mom did pass away. And her mom expressed to her that when she died, she wanted her to come and visit her gravesite every day for I can't remember how many hours a day. And her mom was also very vocal about wanting Jeanette to sing this particular song at her funeral, to where she would have Jeanette practice singing the song over and over and over again and criticize and critique the way she sung it. Like, you can't sing it like that and you have to hit this note better. Like, just, just really strange. So Jeanette, you know, said that she started to feel guilty when she didn't visit her mom's grave. But it was one time that she went to visit. After she, you know, kind of went through therapy and just started reflecting on the dynamic and dysfunction of everything. And she realized that, you know what, her mom no longer has control over her life because she's dead at this point. And she was kind of like, you know, that was kind of my final time going to visit. And I knew that I would never go back to her grave. So again, this is a deep book. It goes deep into mother wounds and, you know, how to heal from it and just her experience. Some things I could relate to, some things I couldn't. But I think overall, just like the anger she felt with her mom, the regret that she felt with her mom, the desire that she felt for her mom to change, and the hope that she had that, well, maybe mom will get better. Well, maybe mom will treat me better. And it just never happening. Like, those things I can relate to. So I just want to share four quick lessons that I learned from reading this book in regards to motherhood. So the first lesson is, don't live your life through your children. Okay. Your talents and desires as a child may not be the same for your children, and that is okay. Don't push your dreams and desires on your children. They will resent you for it in the long run, especially if it's something their heart isn't in and they're just doing it to please you, okay? We have to cultivate the desires and talents that God gave them, okay? He put them there. He put them here on this earth for a purpose that He has planned for them, not your plans for them. So don't let your plans for your children overpower God's plans for them. I see this a lot when it comes to, I know my child is involved heavily in AAU sports. And you can just see the dynamic of the way some of these parents behave at these games, where you can tell like they want their child to perform for them, or their child is performing to please their parent, or in fear of making their parent upset. Or their parent is upset and pushy with them because they're not performing at a certain standard that they expect them to. And sometimes you have to just stop and think, like, is this something they even want to do? Or is this just something I feel like they have to do? I recently listened to a podcast where this girl was sharing how her parents kind of disowned her or gave up on her in college because she decided she didn't want to pledge to a Greek sorority. Apparently her father is in a Greek fraternity. Her mother is a part of a sorority. Like, this is just something that is known in the family. But she decided, you know, like, hey, this isn't something for me. I don't think I want to do that. And child, she said her parents pretty much was like, well, don't call us for nothing. We're not coming to visit you. We're not sending you nothing. Unless it's like a life or death emergency, we're not talking to you. And that just kind of goes to show, like, they are living their life through their children, or feel like, well, because we did it, then you have to do it. Or like in Jeanette's case, how her mom wanted to be an actor, but she wasn't allowed to. So now she's going to live through Jeanette as an actor and force her to do all of these things. And that's not healthy in the long run. And like I shared before, ultimately, your children will resent you for it. And we ultimately have to keep in mind what God's plan and purpose is for them here on this earth, not our plan and purpose for them, okay? The second lesson I learned is that the lessons we teach our children stay with them in adulthood. Be mindful of the lessons that you teach them, whether it's good or bad lessons. So there may be unhealthy habits that we expose our children to, knowingly or unknowingly, that they will take with them into their adulthood. So some examples of this is how to behave in romantic relationships. So I know this is real big for mothers of daughters. If you're in a relationship with a man who is abusive and your daughter is seeing that, you're teaching her a lesson of how to choose a man or what type of man to choose, and vice versa. If your son is watching you as a mother interact with a man who is abusive, then that's teaching him what type of how to treat women, right, when he gets older. We could be teaching them lessons about substance abuse, so smoking and drinking. I know that I watched my mom smoke cigarettes. I watched my sister smoke cigarettes. I believe my grandmother smoked cigarettes. And I've shared before my struggle with smoking weed. I've never smoked cigarettes, but still, you know, the same habit of smoking and how I struggled, you know, to let that go because I enjoyed it. But I realized that was a pattern of behavior that I saw that I picked up in my adulthood, and it was hard for me to let it go. Certain eating habits. So in the case of this book with Jeanette's mom teaching her about the eating disorder of anorexia, she picked up another eating disorder in adulthood with becoming bulimic. I for sure saw this in my childhood. I've shared before in past episodes about me in regards to overeating and emotional eating. These were habits that I picked up as a child that my parents condoned. Like as a child, I would order two Happy Meals, so the chicken nuggets and the cheeseburger, and my parents would purchase this for me as a four-year-old, as a five-year-old, and I would eat both of them. So that was a lesson that I learned as a child that I took with me in adulthood. And also we can teach them about certain money habits. You know, I've shared this on a few financial episodes, how you saw your parents handle and deal with money most likely is how you will in your adulthood. So y'all, it really is that deep. Right. And again, like I said, knowingly or unknowingly, good or bad habits, we have to be mindful of the messages and the lessons that we're teaching our children because they're going to take that with them in their adulthood. Okay. The third lesson that I learned is that all moms are not good moms just because they're a mom. So this goes back to the opening statement where I shared like the perspective that people have of motherhood that, oh, all moms are nurturing and take care of their family and love their family and do all these things. And that is not the case. Just because you're a mom does not mean you're a good mom. That's not the case for everybody. I do understand that motherhood is hard and we all have our challenges when it comes to motherhood. Okay. Nobody will ever be a perfect mother. I don't care who you are. You know, there's going to be some mistakes made in motherhood. But I just feel like some mistakes are from habit, or maybe some mothers don't want to see their mistakes and feel like, well, this is just the way I am and you're just going to have to accept it and unwilling to change. Then that's when it becomes unhealthy. The Bible tells us to honor our parents, right? And honor means to have high respect or great esteem. So despite the way that they treat us or how they have hurt us, we are still commanded by God to have respect for them. That does not mean that we have to make up a false narrative in our heads to try and convince ourselves that the way that they treat us doesn't have a negative connotation in our lives. Sometimes we have to respect our parents from afar. That's where I am in my relationship with my mom. We have to put up boundaries in place respectfully, okay? By accepting the reality of who they are and not who we want them to be. It's hard to accept that the image you had of your mother is not the person that she is, and she, in fact, did hurt you. It's hard to accept that your mother can't give you what you need from her in regards to motherhood. And this is where that self-healing has to come in. This is where forgiveness has to come in. This was a lesson I learned watching Iyanla Van Zandt when she would, go talk with her guests and go back into the patterns of their family. And they would talk about how their mom hurt them or their father hurt them. And sometimes there would come a point in the show where it was like, well, what you're wanting from them, they physically cannot give you. If you want $5 from somebody and they don't have $5 to give you, they can't give it to you. So sometimes our parents can't give us what we want from them. They can't give us what we need from them. And as painful as it is, you're going to drive yourself crazy and start to ruin the other relationships that you have in your life as a result of pushing and desiring and trying to pull something out of this person that they simply can't give you. So this is where it comes into, like, just respectfully have your boundaries. Don't keep putting yourself in a place to where you're being hurt, to where you're being disrespected, to where you're being abused. I'm not saying that at all. There's a woman that I've been listening to, Nona Jones, where she shares her experience with her mom, how her mom pretty much allowed her boyfriend to rape and molest her. Like, she knew it was going on. And when she brought it up to her in her adulthood, she was like, well, if you weren't so fast, or if you didn't let him do it, then it wouldn't happen. And she said this abuse went on from, like, when she was 5 to 12 years old. So how can a 5-year-old let a adult man do something like that to them? And she just accepted, like, you know, once she said that, I just had to put a boundary in place that I can't really have conversations with you. I can't really interact with you if this is your viewpoint of that situation, because it's just, you know, too painful. I still have respect and reverence from you, but I'm going to do it over here. And I can completely relate to that mindset. So just because you're a mom doesn't mean that you're a good mom. And that's not the same experience for everybody. All right. And the last lesson that I learned from this book is that God will help you change the unhealthy narrative in your family. So Jeanette's mom didn't get that way on her own. There are certain glimpses or things that Jeanette mentions in the book about her grandmother, right, which is her mom's mom. Her grandmother was verbally abusive, and her grandmother used her pain and victim mentality to manipulate others. So she mentioned this maybe 2 or 3 times in the book, just a certain situation with her grandmother. But just from her sharing those, I was like, well, that makes sense why the mama is the way she is. Like, the mom has her own story and experiences with her mother, which caused her to be the type of mother that she was to Jeanette. So take inventory of the unhealthy patterns and behaviors in your family. If this shows up in multiple family members, it is a generational curse. So the fact that Jeanette's grandmother was this way, her mother was this way, maybe Jeanette's grandmother's mother, her great-grandma was that way to her. So this behavior and pattern just was passed on to generation to generation. That's a sign of a generational curse. So be intentional about changing the course of that generational curse. Pray and ask God to reveal it to you and give you the tools, resources, and people to help you to change. Some things we may see as normal and not realize the true fact that it is a curse. There are generational blessings as well attached to your family. This helps help to release those and start passing that on to your family instead of pain and toxicity. Again, I recently listened to a podcast on this girl talking about denouncing her sorority and how God revealed this vision to her about her grandfather who was in a fraternity, and just the timeline of her family and things that they have walked into. But she said that God had also revealed generational blessings. So her grandfather was a great entrepreneur and businessman, and how God had showed that he can, you know, pass that on to her. So it's not all generational curses. Sometimes there are blessings that can be passed down, but they're being held back because of the weight of the curses. And God can't get the blessings to us because we're so heavily involved in the toxicity and the generational curses in our family. So I encourage you, it's going to be hard, but hard is not impossible, to be open-minded to have certain things pointed out that, hey, sis, that's not healthy, or, hey, sis, there's a better way to handle this situation, or to show up with this person, or to react to this situation. It doesn't have to be that way, or that way isn't normal, okay? All right, so that is all I have for you all today. I highly suggest you can, you know, get the book if you're a reader, but I highly suggest the audiobook because, like I said, Jeanette, she did her thing with reading and conveying and sharing her message. So I want to leave you with this reflection question for today. What lessons, known or unknown, are you teaching your children right now? And how will those lessons affect them in their adulthood? All right, so that is all I have for you all today. Please follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it, as well as YouTube for the live videos. Be sure to rate, share, and leave a review for this podcast, for this episode. Share it out with somebody that it can help and who it can bless. And I will talk to you all next week. Bye.